Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Welcome to our show today, my brothers and sisters. We are delighted to have you. And today, we've got some questions that have been prepared by Rogier Chardé. He's been wonderful in helping us with our shows recently, and it makes life a lot easier for me and also provides you with some more versatility. So, Rogier, thank you for doing this again and appreciate your help always in so many ways. Can you tell us what you want us to look at today?
Yes, I can. It's actually a little letter that I received from Gary and Jeannie Temple about their son, Kyler. And I actually wanted to read it here because it will sort of, you know, it's a very sort of brief letter, but it requires some explanation because they want to kind of paint a picture and see what you can make of this situation. And you know, they say we're using language here for the sake of being able to communicate, you know, using phrases such as autism, which, you know, officially their son has, but, you know, she doesn't, or they don't really believe in those labels. But having said that, this is the letter. Kyler has autism. He lives in the moment and appears to us to be in eternal time, but yet not always aware of his immediate surroundings. He seems too far out there to be responsible. Life as we currently live it doesn't seem to make sense to him. We have to do a lot of work to teach him how to do things that a normal 9-year-old can do. For example, we have to create a to-do list for him to check off every morning, or he wouldn't remember what he needs to do, such as brush teeth, eat breakfast, get dressed. Some bad days you have to lead him moment by moment. It occurs like we are trying to obtain more of his awareness and he's trying to obtain more of ours. Could it be that there is somewhere in the middle? For Kyler to function in the world as we know it, he needs to be more present, especially to time and responsibility. It doesn't come naturally. We would have to teach him. Can you be in eternal time and present to your surroundings? There is something about responsibility that we cannot quite get right in explaining this. We feel that we are always time-oriented to keep Kyler on track, especially with school. Hence, we feel we are in a continual cycle that we cannot get out of. We cannot access where he is until he can access where we are. We feel stuck. Maybe it's that we don't fully understand what eternal time is. We feel that we couldn't all be in eternal time at once, or we'd be lost or unable to function in this world as it exists now. That's the letter.
Okay, first of all, we need to really define what the issue is, because it may not be this issue of eternal time that is the problem. It might be the perspective. So let's go back to that. Functioning in eternal time, because, see, first of all, she says that he is very much in the moment. Didn't she say that in the beginning of the letter?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay, so the Master Genie's son is extraordinary. He's a natural seer, but, you know, teaching him how to function. So, first of all, she says that he's fully in the moment. So he's totally in the moment. So he forgets that there's school or that there's breakfast waiting and so on, because this moment he's brushing his teeth. So that is eternal time, yes. But is that the problem? The problem might be that he either is so expanded out there and then he is totally in the moment, so he's totally disassociative, or he's fully in the moment. There is something that I need to figure out for them that I'm happy to do, but they're right. a lot of autistic children are simply masters in God consciousness. Let's go through this from scratch. I need to figure out what is with his perspective. And I'm happy to do that. I believe that they're coming to next week's pod. I'm happy if they give me a little note in the beginning to take time by myself and just look through their son from top to bottom and figure out what is going on. Because the autism phrase is a catch-all for anyone that doesn't function with the same perspective as the rest of humanity. But with all due respect, it's the rest of humanity's perspective that has been flawed, because they thought the dream to be real, they thought form to be solid, etc. So we've been trying to adjust children to abnormal circumstances and then calling them normal. So number one, it is a catch-all. So what does it really mean? Let's go through, because I'd like to cover autism for multiple people, not just for the Master Genie's son. Autism could simply be that there is fungus in the body. If there is enough fungal overgrowth called candidiasis, and incidentally, Rogier, at some point we really, really, really need to make a concerted effort to sit down and explain to people why we manifest those symptoms and what to do about them. Because it's like a two-hour layer to get it done. But when there's a lot of fungus in the body becomes hyper-allergic to just everything. And some fabulous techniques and devices out there now that's very non-invasive, the Vega machine, and so on, will be able to pinpoint the things that children are allergic to. It could be that they're very allergic to one or two things that are in their environment. It seldom stays there because it usually tends to fall over like dominoes, or they could become what's called universally allergic. When that happens and they're exposed to somebody's hairspray or somebody's gas fumes with phenol in it, or phenols in the soap, because everything that has perfume in, like laundry detergent, anti-inflammatory agents in clothing, everything like that could make them allergic. The chlorine in the water, the fluoride in the water. This is very serious allergy problems. When that happens, every time they're exposed to something, but they're exposed to it everywhere, creates a very high surge of adrenaline, the way a smoker would have adrenaline. They could be seen as totally, totally hyperactive, belligerent, or they could be so overwhelmed by the adrenaline that they're constantly living in. Let's think of somebody that's in shock. When you're in shock, are you listening very well when somebody tells you to pick up your toothbrush from the floor? No. You're in a dazed state of shock. And it could merely be the adrenal levels from the allergies. So that is something that I have found. The second thing that I have found is that children that are very high in copper tend to also be disassociative. But then again, copper overload promotes the fungal symptoms. And I'm calling them symptoms, but let's just pretend it's a real disease for the moment, but it simulates the disease. So candidiasis is the result of high copper. And a lot of times mothers that eat very healthy foods when they're in the process of expecting that child may end up eating a lot of soy. They just want to eat healthy foods, and unfortunately they end up eating a lot of copper. Soy has a lot of copper in it. So that could cause another problem. Then the third thing is that if something traumatic is happening to the child that they can't explain, they will tend to just go off in a world to their own. You might say, nothing like that is happening in my life. We're doting parents. We absolutely love the boy or the girl. But consider the fact that if the child is fully clairvoyant for the 8 or 9 or 6 or 12 years of their life, they have been seeing things in other realms. ghosts are not pleasant to see. They walk around in misery with their injuries. You could see them in hospital rooms bringing their injuries in, trying to get the doctor to fix it. Nobody's listening to them, or standing in the middle of a road where there was a car accident. If a child sees things like that, it puts them into overload, and then they tend to withdraw by the time, you know, they're old enough to be diagnosed. So that's another thing. And then the other thing is that where a child is fully empathic and they pick up everybody's stuff, and the way to do that, I remember that my son used to go to school and say, "Mother, what is the matter with me? I can't walk past the children's shoes outside the gym where they're having PE without this pain in my heart, because their shoes are telling me how awful their home lives are. And how sad they are, and the pain in them, how neglected they are, and picking everything up from their shoes." See, children like that, unless, you know, and even sometimes when you do help, they're again in overload. But in this instance, it's emotional overload. And then they will also disconnect. Now, you have little Mahatmas that are born in God consciousness, and as that happens, you find that they are very disassociative. People used to scream at me in my face. I used to actually flush up their rage when I first went into God consciousness in the year 2000. I used to flush up their rage because of this emptiness inside me that just was there. And they would scream at me in my face. I would just stand there looking at them. Yeah, they want my money, here, take it, you know. It was almost like I was autistic. That's what it was like to be in the empty phase of God consciousness. In the bliss phase of God consciousness, you don't laugh, you don't engage, because you're in this inner state of ecstasy. It's like being on drugs. That could be another master in the form of a child. And so they say the child is autistic. I remember this young man of Jeannie and her hubby, and he was phenomenal. The masters of articles in my classes were asking him questions. He was giving them the right information. He just wasn't interpreting it correctly. But he doesn't need to. But he's seeing it. So he's a wonderful master. Now, having said all of that, which all of it can be regarded as autistic, there is something else here that we haven't looked at, and it's going to take me a few minutes to look it through, but it's as though the perspective is either wide open or fully closed. Perspective that's fully focused lives in the moment in eternal time. Focused on the moment. Can't see a pattern. Doesn't realize that I'm awake now, brushing my teeth, but I'm doing it in preparation for getting dressed, which is in preparation for breakfast, which is in preparation for getting on the school bus, which is in preparation for this. In other words, they don't see the connection. They just see one piece of the puzzle. And that is fully focused awareness. And yes, it's an eternal time. You can be fully open. Then people are speaking to you. You hardly listen. And, you know, I have this a lot here. I know that oftentimes you speak to me and I'm, excuse me, and you've just said everything loudly, and sometimes I might even say it again because I was so widely expanded. I was experiencing such a wealth of inner communications and life and visions, and I'm busy washing the dishes or something, so it looks like I'm present, but I'm not, and then I don't hear you. And my little one has the same problem with me, with that, and sometimes with students too. I'll say several times, say it again, because I'm hearing from other realms at the same time. And when a child does that, their throttle is now wide open. They're still in eternal time. So as you can see, Jeannie, it is not necessarily that that's what eternal time is. It's the focus. wide open, you're disassociative, focused in the moment, you're not functioning properly in the bigger scheme of things. So I need to look very carefully and see if I can figure it out. What we can do is let's take a quick little break. I'll see if I can do it in the break. I may not be able to puzzle it all together. If I can't, I'll have to write it on the blog when I get the information. But let's take a quick break.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Thank you so much for coming back and being with us again, my brothers and sisters. Let's continue our show. Rogier, there was two things. First of all, the issue of the perspective, because see, the goal is that we have all perspectives at once. And why that isn't happening, I need to spend more time on it, and I will write it on my diary the minute I have it, or I will send it out to the general email list. The safest place for folks to check day by day is diary, my blog. But here, there's another reason. When a child sees energy directly in the past, when these multiple hidden realms were energetic, they would see them as solid. In other words, spirits would be sitting around the house of great-grandma so-and-so and great-grandpa so-and-so, and, you know, maybe even the some sort of a ghost here or there, and here's a fairy and there's an angel. And these things seem absolutely real to a child. And they start to interact with them, and they can see from the rest of their adults that they're disbelieving what the child is seeing. So, in other words, their reality is negated. When that happens, then the child will end up being very confused about what is real and what is not. And so that world, which we would call, if we were that way inclined, the real world, They choose some world in between because they don't know what to make of the fact that their reality is different than other people.
Okay. Now, regardless of the, you know, what exactly the sort of the details of this particular situation, you know, will turn out to be, because I know you're still going to look at this, I think the actual theme that is signaled in the letter as a kind of a paradox is sort of very interesting and, you know, one that should be sort of scrutinized, because, you know, effectively it is, you know, like, for example, you said about autism, and we, you know, autism is a definition, you know, kind of created by the so-called normal people, but really they're the crazy ones, and then often perspectives that are sort of covered by this definition of autism have more to do with reality than you know, their sort of identity mind thing. But the fact of it is that they still define the world as it is, and in terms of school and traffic and laws and things like that. And I mean, the paradox at heart here, I think, in this letter is simply, well, for a child to be able to live in this space, and let's say if, whether it has to do with presence or eternal time, and we as the parents who have to synchronize that space with the activities in the so-called real world, taking them to school and this and that, that's undermining our own ability to be able to properly access this space, because we have to synchronize his world with the so-called real world. Do you see what I mean?
Oh, I do. It's an incredible hardship on parents. You know that the child is enormously special, but the rest of the world doesn't. Now, how do you give them the best education to integrate it? You're absolutely right. But any of these things, there has to be a way, there has to be a solution that goes with the problem. We've noted different problems that all fall in the term, the catch-all term of autism. Another thing that's like that is fibromyalgia. It's unbelievable. Everything is just heaped into one pile of fibromyalgia. It could be acidosis, it could be this or that, but no, they don't know what it is. You know, it's not full-blown arthritis, so they call it fibromyalgia. So it's very hard to have anyone pinpoint what the problem is. But my point is that the problem should be fixable. There should be no need why this inability to function from all minds at once cannot be cultivated. We just need to figure it out. I had an example, just to give you this little story. I had an example of this very dear brother, Hans, who brought his little boy. The little boy was functioning at a two-year-old's level of interacting and reading and stuff, but he was six. And he brought him for, at that time, it was in 2000, he brought him to me for healing. The little boy was... I took a look at what was wrong with him, and at that time, we still had abductions. And so the little child was being abducted at night, and they made it so he couldn't speak. They tampered with his ability to speak. And certain coordination was, there was a block put in the brain, and this little boy was being abducted. He couldn't speak hardly at all. His father had sort of a very basic language with him that he could do. But I said to the father, I asked the boys a few questions, got a few yeses, but then took time to look through his life. And I saw that they were taking him at night. And I told his father, I pulled his father out of the room, and I drew something of a UFO above the house with a beam, and the little boy going up in the beam into the craft. And I folded it up. I didn't show the father what I was drawing. And I said, now ask him about what happens to him at night that you don't know about, and have him draw it. He drew the exact same picture that I had drawn, but to show you that it wasn't a telepathic communication, he drew it from the underside, like he would have seen it as a round disc from the other underside. I drew it from the side. He was being abducted, and they made him not tell. And sometimes he would see his sister there. It was a horrific experience. And so it was such an overload, and finally, when he was able to tell his father about it, huge, huge, huge difference. And then what happened then is that we were able to create a huge shift in his language abilities. He was able to go to Montessori and so forth. From that point on, there was communication with his father. And one day he was sitting there watching a little cartoon about a dragon, and he communicated to his father, he's seen one of those. And the father said, where? you know, and he explained exactly where he's seen this dragon and so on. Well, people would think he's crazy. We have a photograph by the courtesy of my very dear brother, Andrew Gillam, in England. We have photographed a dragon above Glastonbury in England, solid as you can see it. We are photographing these fairies that these kids are seeing. Their worlds are different, but it is helpful to have parents like the Temples to help their son because they believe him. Part of the problem is if we don't believe those children with what they're seeing. A local judge said to me, and this is part of what Ruchir was pointing out, our very dear friend, Judge Tony, she said to me, when my mother was senile, she was a brilliant woman, and when she was senile, you know, the doctor was sitting there very sanctimoniously labeling her as Alzheimer's and senile, and she, for a moment there was clarity in her eyes, and she looked up and she said to the doctor, how do you know that the realities I'm experiencing isn't the real reality, just because it's different than yours? So it's the same question. The world labels them because it is too narrow in its views. How do we cope with that? My brothers and sisters, first of all, we try and fix it, because we have to try and figure out what it is. And secondly, and one of the things is, if they are experiencing these alternate realities, to give some validity to it will help. The second thing is that it is sometimes necessary for us to see these children for the master that they are, and then to have them educated differently, perhaps homeschooling. You know, whatever the parent will feel in their heart is best. I don't have the answers because of the multiple things that we're looking at.
Okay, but I take it you will be looking at this still a little bit.
I'm happy to do that.
All right, but I think, like you said, they were coming for the pod anyway, so...
Yes.
They'll probably have heard that by now, and otherwise I'll send them a message. All right, how are we doing for time?
There's time for another question, and then we'll go on break.
I think this is going to go on till after the break, but I have a few more questions from Christy. She's referring to Almin's chamber. I think that's the bedroom. She said, I've been there long before I met her, as in Almin, physically. There was a portal. I was in a white room. When I came out of the white room, I remember the triangle above Almin's bed. It holds great significance. I remember it on a pedestal. Is this sacred space a place she worked magic from a long time ago? Could she tell us some history of this energy spot and the triangle? And then later she adds, when I was in the white room, there were tall beings with long robes. I can see it clearly, but I can't see their faces. So, there you have it. What's your comment?
Well, let's go through this. A lot of the geometry in this room is, in fact, geometry that has become obsolete, because our geometry has changed at least twice that I am aware of over the last years. But it was created according to sacred geometry then. It was created to have, for instance, the 45-degree angles, triangles everywhere in the way that the roof is slanting and so forth. It has 16 spheres in squares that go around the ceiling. And the reason for that is that you find that, for instance, Native Americans have the 16 lodge poles. And if you take a look, there's a 30-foot mirror, so you really are seeing 32. This stands for the feminine and masculine root races of the cosmos. It stood for the codes of DNA in which this genetic information was kept in man. Native Americans, when they do a sweat lodge, they use 16 of the red willows branches to make their lodge poles the structure of the lodge. And so many temples have the 16 pillars in it. There's actually 32, but the other has always been the equivalent of the unseen or the mirrored image or the etheric realms. So there's the 16 spheres plus square, meaning, again, the masculine and feminine in harmony, and then mirrored, it makes 32. We've got the room is the size, the dimensions of the Jewish tabernacle, and then there is a step up with curtains that cannot close. That is reminiscent of the Holy of Holies. And, you know, it was closed because there was an intermediary in terms of the priests needed, and then when man could go directly to the infinite, because enough of that had been put into the grid of humanity at the time, the curtains were no longer able to close. At the end of my room, I have the stained glass windows, 8 foot by 8 foot, of the four apostles, done by Albrecht Dürer, the great reformer. He did it as a painting, and it's done there in exquisite stained glass out of a French cathedral. But those masters were, in fact, not the four apostles. They were the four fathers of the Rosenkreuz, Father Rosenkreuz, and his three helpers. When they left, they laid their bodies down, and recently the crypt in which Father Rosenkreuz was buried in, I think it might have been Germany, was opened because of plumbing problems, and they found his body there, totally incorruptible. He had managed, with the alchemical codes that they kept, to, you know, become immortal. These are the four immortal masters. So there's mystical information throughout of mystical traditions. The room itself, let's talk about the portals. And I'm speaking now first of the old geometry, and then I'm going to tell you what it has happened, because it changed yesterday. Knowing Christy, when she asks a question, there's something that needs to be said. So when you have a golden mean rectangle and you divide it into a square, you find that the portion that's left over you can divide into another square, and it makes another golden mean rectangle. This goes on and on and on. Each time you divide the golden mean rectangle with square, you end up with another square, another golden mean rectangle, and it ends up making a spiral. And these spirals became portals. And the portals, some of them went to other planetary systems, and some of them went to the holy libraries. And the holy libraries are on Earth. The very tall beings that are tall and long, if she's seeing the ones with the long white hair, they actually are from the Antares star system. And they're just called the White Ones. And they're the elders from that system, and they came back and forth through this portal. And so we've had a portal in the downstairs where the students never could sit. It gave them headaches. And then we recognized that that portal went through to the libraries of the ancient Kumara, Lemuria areas of Lemuria, and they're known as the libraries of the White Dove, and the portal went through to that library. We've had a portal close to the back door that I've gone through multiple times, because it went back and forth between cycles of time. When a cycle is wiped out, there's nothing left to go back to. Very special portals were needed for that. There's one such portal near Johannesburg. There's one at Clonmacnoise in Ireland, where the Ascended Masters came through, that is running the Isis Order. And there is one near Alaska. In near Fairbanks, Alaska, that has come through from a time when Tangaya, when the planetary continents were as one, existed. And so these portals went between cycles of existence. Then there are just usual time portals, but the one at my back door was hugely, hugely instrumental in the work that I did. That is the reason why I'm in this house. This house is on a very sacred spot that is the spot of Anakra. And Anakra, if you look in A Life of Miracles, Arakana is the spider goddess. It's the direction of within. It's the androgynous goddess of the white light. And this is the spot where the vortex is the most potent for Arakana. If you look on that map of the goddess archetypes in A Life of Miracles overlaid, you will see that there's one area that covers Oregon. That's the area of Arachne. This is the spot where the ancient temple stood, through which you could go through this Arachne portal in the middle of the spider web, which enables you to go back and forth between cycles. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we get back, I'll tell you what opened in the last day.
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
So what has occurred here in the last day? My brothers and sisters, we spoke, we had really good, about two times ago, we had a really good, interesting session of questions regarding the cosmos we live in. That it is a cosmos that is now, and we explained why the word now comes in there, a cosmos of white light. The white light of the cosmos, we explained that there were different types of white light, and if you missed it, it should be on the blog as well. But we said that there are, the Infinite Mother is going to enable us to see two octaves of white light ahead. Our white light consists of three primary colors. The next form of white light consists of seven primary colors, and the one beyond that of 12 primary colors. And so we are in a place where we have been given the ability to see beyond, but, you know, why isn't it then just happening right away? My brothers and sisters, a portal has opened. It's this coming week, which is our December pod, when this is aired, it will possibly be into January. But this coming week, one of the things that we are required to do is to see through that portal. A portal opened in this house you know, people that have been in this house are here, has his studio here and everything. He's with us right in the house day by day, and we were having headaches and pressure in the head. And it was the opening of the portal in the house. And this has enabled us to go back and forth through the portal, at least in terms of seeing what is beyond it, so we can see the Infinite Mother, or the Infinite. And that is the newest portal that's opened. And for the first time in this upcoming class, we're going to be accessing a whole different range of existence. And Ruhir, I remember you're asking me and saying, well, is that, you know, sort of similar to like the angels and things that are hidden from us? And the answer is no, because we're already accessing those, but we're accessing the hidden realms because they're part of our cosmic individuated life. That's the page in the book, as we describe it often, that individuated life is on. We're able to see into the next page through this portal. So this has just opened. So thank you to the Master Christie for bringing that up.
Well, there's a sort of a side question I have here, because it just occurred to me that, excuse me, that when you were describing the geometries and so forth of this house and the bedroom, now I was thinking, isn't all of this belonging to the dream, and wouldn't it now be causing density?
When the Infinite recreated life outside of the dream, in order for continuity to exist, the similar structures were created. What it just means is it's meaningless now. It doesn't mean that it creates density. We're still wearing the same wardrobe, as far as we're concerned, that we wore in the dream versus now. The same buildings exist, but what Mother did is she took away that which is obsolete as having any significance. Now, it's just a pretty room. And I think we have pictures of this on the blog, so folks can actually go there and see. We often take photographs.
Well, I mean, in some of the videos, you can, of course, at least see the windows. And...
Yes, yes.
Okay, now Chrissy sent in a message through to my Twitter page, and she says that spider goddess, so I'm referring to, I think, Arachna,
uh-huh.
She says that spider goddess has been working with me. She's the one who wanted me to ask this question.
Oh, okay.
So,
well,
I don't know.
That I can understand, because it's a portal that goes between things, and this new portal has opened here, and that's possibly what she wanted us to talk about. The Arachne goddess holds the key to portals. Well, you know, in this house, the key to the portals, and incidentally, as I sit here, I'm looking in my 30-foot mirror, and to the right of me, which I couldn't see unless I looked in the mirror, is this incredible stained glass window. In fact, Ruhir, I'd love it if you could take a picture of it and perhaps put it on our Twitter. But this beautiful stained glass window of the saint holding the key. Well, always when you depict that, you are seeing, this is an English window, 1700s. The key held by a saint is usually St. Peter, because he held the key to establishing, you know, heaven on earth or whatever. But the key to the portal is held in this house, and is held by myself, and as the masters come in, they help me open the door. So the Arachne goddess held it before. She no longer holds any keys to any portals, but she's representative of that principle.
Okay, I see. And what is this triangle that Chrissy's referring to? Because I'm not sure what is meant by that above the bed.
It's actually a portal. The portal above the bed has come in and out with star beings. That's where they come in and out. And I don't actually know where it goes. I've never gone through it. see, it didn't become a problem because as we were dealing with extremely adversarial energies through the years, the mother closed portals in my house, all of them. This is the first time another portal is opened.
Okay. Now, I have a quick question from...
If I can say this, I don't even have a fairy in my house. Because it was like Grand Central Station in here. I couldn't sleep. They were jumping on my bed to wake me. They were knocking things over to wake me. They were touching my face. I could hardly walk without stepping on something. You know, it was not pleasant. And then I said, enough. This is my house. So there's nothing in here unless we let them in. There's nothing to come in because the only page in the book that has any individuated life is us. What lies beyond is the infinite. This is a portal straight to the infinite.
Okay, but if you're saying there's nothing beyond, you're not saying that that the unseen realms are empty, or are you saying that the unseen realms simply don't exist anymore because it's all in the physical?
No, the unseen realms exist, but they're within our octave of light. So they're within our white light page in the book. On that page, the only individuated life exists. There are other pages in the book, but they are simply depths of matter, of the holy incorruptible matter that is the only element that exists. And that depths of matter, it's layers of the mother, and it's trillions of layers. And there's no individuated life. It's only on our page. We're able to see two pages deep into the infinite's being. This portal that just opened, I don't know if it goes two or one level deep, but there are two levels deep we could see.
Okay, but excuse me, I keep getting something in my throat. I'm not sure what that is.
Well, you know, let's do this. I kind of blew it a little bit, and I went over time with one of our sections, and it is time for us to take another break. So we'll give you a chance to get a bit of water.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almeen's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We only have 6 minutes left here, so just hit me with the next one.
Okay, well, we have two, first of all, through Twitter, first of all, from Lale in Paris, who's asking if you have any, she has such low energy levels, is even unable to go out to shop food, and I actually noticed from the Twitter timeline that she had it yesterday as well, I think, it was very low energy, so perhaps if you know the interpretation of this symptom.
We had it as well, you and I, remember? Where we could hardly lift our arms. We just didn't want to even move, didn't want to work. Our work was heaping up. The reason for that, my beloved sister, the Master Lale is in Paris, my brothers and sisters. And what is happening is that you are starting to incorporate the full spectrum of white light in our cosmic life. We spoke about our cosmos having these three primary colors. It's new to us to have all three colors. And you are absolutely not the only one that's asking me this. I've had multiple faxes and emails and things coming in through my main office in Kentucky saying, why am I so fatigued? It is the incorporation of the red and the yellow light, which we've never had before. It's an overload of information, and we require rest to download that information and upgrade to a white light computer versus a blue light computer. It's a whole new ball game, and so don't worry about it. It will pass soon. Give it a few days. So next question.
Okay, and this is from Christy, who is referring to the spider goddess and says she's been with me ever since the wolf spider bit the top of my right foot 3 weeks ago, and it is still there.
Okay. I'm going to let the mother answer this one for us. Shkai ki kia na sai eche. Abar kana wihir kash gavas. Che kia na utu pe kia ahanash gava. Kita hunush. Mi kier neskava uche. Ki uchia na asai eche. Pakna avaki hihie. Mother is saying that the oracles have been receiving all over the world symbols with hearts in them, and that they are receiving also symbols with hearts in them that pertain to planets, and that what it is the opening of the core of DNA, the opening of the core of planets, the opening of the core portal in the DNA. Let's think of the DNA as though it is the way we think it is. It has actually become a field, but nevertheless, let's think of it the way it was. 12 strands go online and the 13th one opens. There are 12 planets that will open their core centers with these heart gates. And when that happens, the Earth's central portal opens. This is indicative of what is going to take place in the Masters worldwide in the week to come. Their center portal of their DNA will open, and through this portal, a window will be provided to give direct access to the infinite in the two pages beyond us, to give the ability to see the refined light of those areas, of those levels of existence, and hear those frequencies. And what it is, if you recall, we had a rose that came forth in Ohio. I drew it in black and white, and we were able to photograph it as it started pulsing in color, and the colors were changing towards the evening, and by the next day, I know, Christy, that you were there as well, that by the next day, the colors had yet again changed. That rose is the template of DNA. However, there are three more rows of petals around it. I've received it to draw, and Master Ifa very kindly created a template for me to draw, but I have been told not yet, not yet, not yet. And so only right before class starts next week may I draw it. The Isis astrology is the eighth row of petals, the one that we've had as DNA is only seven. The ninth row, it's seven if you count the inside ring. If you don't count the inside ring, you've got a row of three petals, 7, 12, 20, and then 33 petals and 54 petals. That's what we've had. Not counting the inside circle, there are six rows of petals. Then we had the information of the Isis libraries of the astrology, our connection with the planets. That is the seventh row of petals information. The eighth row was the magic of the firstborn. It's not the magic, it's the creative principles of the firstborn. And if you want to see that, it's on the Isis website that went up but a little while ago, maybe 2 hours ago now. There is another ring of petals around that that has to do with opening the portal to the infinite itself. And that makes, if you don't count that inner ring, the ninth row of petals. When you hit nine levels in the evolution of man, you're in the apex of human development, you're in full ascended mastery. There are nine levels of development in most things, and then you get to the next level when you're looking at progress. We will then have our ninth level, and this is coming up next week. You know, the Master Ifa, the Master Shelley, the Master Karen, they're all oracles. They've been sending me these images with the hearts. I haven't known what to do with it. I've known, you know, that it opens various things, but I've just sat on it. It's next week's information, and now we know what it is. And that is why the masters have been getting spider bites. The master Nettie went into the emergency room. She was covered with spider bites. And now we have, you know, the Master Christie with the same. I'm sure now that if we say it, people will let us know that they've had spider bites. I have felt myself get bitten by the spider. The outer information, these heart-shaped images we're getting, is about the heart of our DNA, the core. And it is spider magic.
But it seems like then the upcoming pod is yet again about a new body of information, i.e.
yes,
perception.
It is. And we can't move beyond those bodies until they're all complete. And when they're all complete, they'll fold into one. And
but I
that
thought,
is, sorry?
I thought the idea was also that this, just this very electric perception thing was going to change in pods and had been there because bodies of information had been brought forth. So if
make no mistake, Rogier, this is knowledge from within. It is from within that we will open those portals. My brothers and sisters, unfortunately, we've come to the end of our break, and we'll be with you again next week. Bye-bye.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week. Thank you.